everyone, and welcome to episode 226 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with one of my partners in crime, Nasty Nate Nathan Kennedy. Absent by, or what was it? What's that saying? Something about like something by his absence, Tyler Baker. How do you fucking say that phrase? I dropped my first F bomb and I wasn't gonna do it.
I don't know. Tyler's doing family stuff this week, and then next week, if all goes according to plan, unfortunately, Joe and I will review the sixth and last issue of Masters of the Multiverse. Thank God that will be over with. So Tyler, depending on how it goes, Tyler might not be here the following week either, but he will, I would say for sure, be back the week after that. So you guys are stuck with us for 2 weeks.
Yep, so everything's good. Nothing's bad, but you know what's funny? I was rushing, putting on my mask and everything. I'm looking at the screen. I got my black hood inside out. Hold on, I'll be right back. I just want to get off camera so I can fix this.
You should have just left it like that the whole time. Well, anyway, on this week's episode, we're going to talk about Imp, and then we're going to talk about the UK annual story, The Tale of Many Faces. So I don't really know how to kill time. Thanks, Joe, for just leaving me here by myself. He should have just left it that way. He already looks like a hobo enough as it is. Well, you know what? I could just still
7 seconds.
Well, I should have just stole his thunder and said hello to everyone in the chat room. But when he comes back, we'll do that. And if anyone's timing him, it's maybe about 7 seconds. All right, Joe, get your stuff in there and read off who's in the chat room.
God, what an idiot!
Yeah,
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go an episode. I'm not gonna cuss at all. And because I seen that, it happened. Yeah. But yeah, let's read everybody. We got JSP, Bob Hud, 69, Spider Rat, Lacey Dean, Zentron, Zen Brown, Gary Buchanan, Mike Shamp, Eric Sanchez, Adam Gabbard, Carlos. Man, Carlos, I feel bad when I can't say your last name. But he says, hey, everyone, damn shame the year, Val was flying you all out to PowerCon. It was canceled. Oh, yeah, that would have been crazy.
Right now.
Well, it definitely would have been Nathan. I don't know Tyler. I don't know about me.
That was just a running gag because I know that Val listens to the show. So that was just my way of like, hey, man, come on. Let's pay my way. But yeah, next year, I think.
All right.
September. It's like mid-September or something like that next year. So
that's crazy. And Curtis Ackerman, Grimbot, Legends of Grayskull's here. Thank you for joining us, Febmon. I already said JSP and Lonin. Lonin is here. And Patricio has joined us. So I think I got all of you. If I missed anybody, I apologize. Yeah, when it was coming to new news, I was like, well, God, I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, I know, like, we didn't go in depth last week about PowerCon being canceled. Right. I'm not sure, I'll be honest, because I didn't check all the news to see how they're still handling, how they're going to do the exclusives. I thought they were still offering them in some capacity.
The exclusives are still offered. Sorry in advance, guys, but I'm sure some of you guys have seen in the Facebook groups, they've been keeping a tally on the percentage of the quantity that's left. I know it's starting to get very low. I want to say you can go to the PowerCon website itself and find them. I know Big Bad Toy Store had them on there as well. If you guys have any questions about that, I know that Val has a thread on the He-Man.org forums to kind of sort of like explain to you why the price is the way that it is. And like he really breaks it down in a way that like a lot of people don't know that the intricacies of a convention, you know, like we just go to them, we pay the money.
They can be quite expensive. Yeah.
The amount of work that gets put into it in terms of booking the place and then what you got to do and what you can't do and working with Mattel and all that. There's just a lot. There's a lot of variables, but I know that I was kind of briefly talking to him a little bit this weekend, and he said he was sort of in the midst now of kind of refunding the money back to everybody. So it's unfortunate, but the good thing is do it this far in advance. Everyone can stay safe because it seems like this is going to be around a little bit longer than anyone really wants it to be. So
yeah. Hopefully things get better soon, though. I mean, definitely. And Eric Amon, thank you for joining us, and I hope you're enjoying the grilling and everything. And I was going to say, we're going to get to our first topic here, but I want you guys, hopefully there's somebody in the chat room and they can post it down there. Just, I have a question. Do any of you know when Lord Imp appeared in the DC Masters of the Universe comics, like when they start off in 2012, it went to like 2015, but I honestly don't know what issue that is. I just need to know something because I don't want to make an ass out of myself on the show because I quit reading the comic and I didn't really know what was going on in that series. But if somebody knows what issue Imp became Lord Imp, please tell me when and the year and everything. I'd like to know that somewhere during this episode, because we are discussing Imp, and I seen that they said at one point, like when they were talking about in the compendium guide, they said that he became like Lord Imp in one of the issues. But I was like, but which one? I never heard of that. So I would just like to know if you guys would know.
Is it kind of bad that when it comes to the character spotlights that we do, when I refer to the compendium book, I usually ignore everything past Filmation? They have like the part that's like the classics bio, and then like
if
there are any of the comic
because...
books, I'm like, well, I know that Joe and Tyler don't give two shits about any of that, so I don't need to read that part.
Well, it's sad because I hate to say that's how I am. Again, and I'm not dismissing saying that they're crap. I mean, if people enjoyed those, you know, bios, and if they enjoyed the DC comics, great. But I wasn't feeling them. But that was the only reason I looked at, the compendium, because I was like, okay, of course I knew him in the cartoons. And he had a couple little appearances in some of the books, like he had Lady Bird appearance. And, of course, Star Marvel, but of course you've seen him as, like, on the cover, a pink kind of, like, you know, fucking Imp thing, and I think they said maybe he didn't have as many fingers or some shit. I don't know, but I just, when it came to the DC stuff, I was like, I really didn't care. But let me see. No one recalls this. Well, they say, okay, well, Spider-Rat said, I just read through those on the DC Universe app. I don't recall them showing him becoming a lord. They just said he was when they took him down. But Spider-Rat, do you know what issue that was? I really need, I mean, I appreciate it. I ain't saying tell me the fucking issue, but if you know what issue and year, I'd love to know, because I'll bring up something later.
Grim 2, we're counting on you.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't read that stuff either. I asked him, he was like, yeah, you asked for that stuff. But yeah, he said he appears in issue 11 of Star Marvel Comics. Yeah, so he had his appearances, but as for the newer stuff, I just kind of didn't care, and I don't know, I just wasn't into it. If there was something really cool, cool, but I did need to know that.
And
but I think we're going to start off.
I just want to stress this enough, and I feel like we need to say this every couple of episodes. If you guys like stuff in this whole mass, you know, if they, you know, you like those comics, you like stuff that we're no longer talking about, so we don't get punished on this show. If you guys are into all of that, that is perfectly A-okay.
Sure,
but
if we
don't like it, we don't like it, and we'll tell you why, because that's why we're on here doing this. But yeah,
okay, wait, Legends of Grayskull just popped up, issue 8 of Eternity War. But could you please tell me what year was that? What is the month and year? I need to know this, because if I just need to know that, because then hell, I was like, oh god, are we going to talk about Imp first? Since we're already talking about, maybe we will talk about Imp first, and we'll see.
Why you gotta do that to me, Joe?
Because I'm an ass. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But, I mean, I guess if we're already talking about Imp, we might as well just go into Imp and then do it. But JSP, thank you. 2014. Okay, Nathan, can you pull up a picture? Because here we go. All
right, I got to do some altering. So you guys are going to start to see the tale of many faces. Tyler's here in spirit, as you guys can see on your screens. I made sure that he was here with us, at least, you know, just to be here on this episode. But yeah,
there's the face.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just give me like 2 seconds. There we go. Got that.
Okay.
There.
Well, wait, here real quick. JSP said 2014. Legends of Grayskull says 2015. Either way, that's good, because I'm going to show you something once Nathan pops it up. It'll be an interesting thing, because I didn't read those, so I would have never known. And
all
you
right.
know, if I would have known this.
There you go, Joe.
Okay, well, I'm going to wait about 10 seconds so
Why?
I can see it, but
you can go ahead and just start talking about it. There you go.
I can see it now, right here. Lord Imp. That's the first time anybody, I think, has called him fucking Lord Imp. But just to let you know, this custom I made, as you can find on my Facebook page and everywhere else across the internet, I made in February of 2013. Interesting, isn't it? And then so they made a reference of Lord Imp. I mean, just to say the name Lord Imp, he has never been called Lord Imp anywhere. I thought it's this cool custom. This is some of my earlier work, so I apologize if it looks kind of shitty, but this was something I thought, hey, it's cool, he'll take over for Hordak. And on the back, I didn't send it to Nathan, but I have it on, you know, my page and everything. I have his bio, but he did take over for Hordak. So how about that? In 2014 or 2015, whenever, either way, it's after I did this, they did a Lord Imp. So can we mark that it was Sky High now? Am I going to be babbling about this? Is this when Nathan's going to be like, oh, Christ, not only Sky High, now we got to hear Lord Imp.
You're great.
So how about that? Lord Imp. He was never called Lord Imp. This is a custom I made, and then they put it into canon and called him Lord Imp. Some bitch, but you wouldn't hear me say a thing. I wouldn't say nothing.
Oh, so, yeah,
it's
sure.
It's just an honor to be nominated. Unreal. Is this not nuts? Oh, Joe, nobody looks at your shit. You're a moron. You're an idiot. Who cares about your crap? But, something else. Okay, all right. Am I done? Am I done,
Bam? Well, I mean, hopefully so. Imp.
So how about that?
Let's get into Imp, because the episodes of She-Ra that I have consumed in the past couple of weeks, all the episodes that Tyler recommended to me, I didn't get to see Imp transform into anything. The Imp that
I love that you're doing that you're showing all his forms. Go ahead, yeah.
The Imp that I've seen is just the one that's standing beside of Hordak, kind of digging that deeper anytime, like, Grizzlor or Leech or Mantana aren't doing what they're supposed to, and of course you get the door and the floor and they go through there, kind of thing. It's interesting because Joe picked this character. I don't know a ton about it aside from the fact that Imp can take form of various different things, and was just sort of that yes man for Hordak that I feel like other members of the Horde just couldn't wait to see something happen to him.
They were jealous of him because they hated that. They hated how, of course, he's, you know, Hordak's little right-hand buddy guy, and he can do nothing wrong. And, you know, he'd go whining and tattling to Hordak if something happened. So he was basically untouchable. But it also shows, I mean, he's a hell of a character. That's why this is, it's in back of me. I showed you before. Imp's the first custom I ever made and sold, ever, because I just love the character. And when I made him, you show all these 22 forms is interesting because the customer say, can you make all the 22 forms he turned into the cartoon to go with my imp? And I did, but I love that this little sucker, as you see, he's a spy as well. He will turn into anything, and he's useful to when he can get into fighting and doing something. But you need the spy. I always say a spy is important, but just to be able to do the shape-shifting aspect. And it's not just blue. I know that the majority of all these showing are blue, and I don't know if you'll have the other one, but he did become a woodland creature at one time where he was hanging on a tree, and he was brown and furry.
Right.
So he wasn't blue. So it shows Imp can basically become anything, maybe within the ranks of his size. I don't know if I don't know if he can become a super giant, but I'm just, as you see, it's always usually something close to his size. But a very useful, very great character. Some people found him annoying. I love this guy.
Well, like I said, the episodes I've seen him in, I didn't get to see this. It was just more of like the heckling and sort of like the, yeah, boss kind of thing. And I enjoy that because it from a storytelling point of view, it can give you that opportunity to work it in there that, like, one day something will happen to him, and, like, Grizzle or Mantana are just going to be like, ah, he gets what he deserves for all those years of just, like, egging Hordak on, and just we're getting punished for it. It's like, well, why don't you go out there and do something? So I need to sit down and watch these episodes. All these images I got from the orc, so that it was just all the ones that they had up there.
I'm sorry I'm hitting the screen. It's because something popped up and I'm trying to get the hell off my screen. I want to see you and I want to make sure I'm not edited off. Okay, I'm still here, right?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, I apologize for that. No, I apologize for it. But no, I mean, it's in even Tyler, like when he did his mini comic, you know, to where he had that one part where Imp is, you know, that little marker as they came in to guide them. So he even understands the importance of the character. He can be tricky, too, if you especially don't know who he is. But for those that, like I said, wouldn't know him, you're not going to expect to see him in all these different little spots and what he is. But he just, like I said, a spy is very necessary, and especially one that can shape shift and turn into things. It makes it even better. And it's a character that you would like to see almost everybody. Well, like I said with Tyler, and like I said to you, everybody has got to have that kind of spy character or somebody that infiltrates or at least to see what's going on. So for those, I can understand the people that said they didn't like when he'd sound whiny or he was annoying little pest. But he actually wasn't a pest. He was useful and did stuff. So, I mean, again, I respect for people that didn't like him, but I was just shocked when somebody said, oh, he was a pest, he was annoying. I was like, well, you're showing the good example of all the things he could become.
Yeah, but
and what he does.
But, I mean, that's the other beautiful part about the character. Like, you love to hate him. That's like the proper heel. He's not like the cool heel at all. You know, it's cool in the fact that he can transform and everything, but you hate him, and that's the point, because you're supposed to.
No, and it's true, but real quick, one person jumped in, one man's junk, thank you for joining us, thought, he thought Tyler's frozen, he's like, what's happening? No, he's here in spirit, Nathan just...
That's just a stock photo. I captured, that picture of Tyler just captures his entire essence, you know? It just says everything about him that needs to be said. I feel like
he could have had him smiling like he was enjoying. He loves Imp. This makes it look like he's disgusted by Imp. But he's somebody that, yeah, if the cartoon, obviously Kevin Smith cartoon, let's say it takes off real successful. Let's say it led even to She-Ra appearing, and whether they would have a brand new She-Ra or if she would just have, you know, guest appearance along with Hordak.
Right.
I'd love to see Imp come back. And I would like to know from you and even the chat room, would you still want him to be kind of like the conniving little sucker that shapeshifts? Would you want him to be more evil?
You know what would be kind of badass, really, is if during this He-Man show, at one point, as sort of like an Easter egg teaser to get people excited, like, have Imp blend again in the background, transformed to something else. Like, he's spying because there's something greater, even greater, at play. To tease, like, oh, hey, the Horde's going to show up kind of thing. I don't know how that works, like, rights-wise between them and what all is going on between DreamWorks and all that stuff, too.
That's when Grimbot would join in. Right. He'd probably say, well, She-Ra's by this, He-Man's by this. I have no clue how it could happen. But, no, it's – and I wanted more of him, like I said. We didn't get much of him, like, as we were saying earlier, in comic form, little bits here and there. And then years later, I found out, oh, he's in some Lady Bird books. And to find out that – he came from a race of imps, or that there was multiple ones, which was different to me to know that it just wasn't one, but there was multiples, which I didn't even know. I think one of the Ladybird books I read and looked at, I thought, I remember them drawing Imp in there, but I thought it was just Imp as Imp. So I was like, did I miss one of the Ladybird ones? And that's why hopefully somebody could catch me here. I haven't read every single one of them, so I'd like to know what issue that might have been where there was like multiples. Because I had no clue about the multiple imps.
And that opens up an entirely other thing. Like, you can, not like I'm saying you should necessarily, because it goes back to the whole thing of like having the mystique of the character. I feel like you'll break that if you do something that goes and it's like, well, here's the race of all the other imps.
And
blah,
I don't
blah, blah.
Like, you know, and that's the thing. Yeah, I never liked when they started going into, like, the race and, like, bunch of them. Like, I always like to think that each character is pretty unique. You know, there's certain ones that are definitely unique. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could say, okay, maybe Beastman came from a tribe of, you know, Beast Warriors. But when I think of somebody like, you know, Mantenna, or when I think of Modulok or Mosquito, or of course a lot of them were just made and some weren't, but I like individual characters, and to take and just turn it into a whole race of them, it takes away the specialty of that character, the uniqueness. It's like, I think in the, I don't know if it was in the Classics bios or if it was when they were doing Scareglow for that Download Digital comic that started around 2011 or whenever the hell it was, but they made Scareglow a race of scare glows. I was like, don't do that.
Like, I get it from the standpoint that if you're thinking about it from a biology standpoint, like, yeah, there technically probably would be more of this, and they are like a race, and that's nice to put in the back of your mind, but I think to actually explore it is just, it's too much. Leave the mystery there, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like Grim said, I mean, having a whole race makes it feel, you know, more real,
right.
And I can understand to a degree, like, especially, like I said, when it's like characters like Merman, and obviously Stratos, even though he sucks as a figure, I mean, unique character in the cartoon and the comics, but yeah, there's some that work, some it doesn't, and just Imp, even though, yes, I can understand maybe he came from a race of those creatures, I like him just being his own individual character, right. Makes him more special, at least in my opinion.
What is this one right here? Is he the context? It just looks like he's in a bowl of ice cream.
Well, that's when he splashed into a pie, I think. It was a berry pie, and I can't remember who that splashed on. Grimbot will probably be able to get it, but I know he, I think, jumped and splashed into that and rolled and looked up, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, these were a hell of a thing to sculpt when I was doing it back then. But yeah, I
can imagine.
He just Yeah, I popped into that little bowl, and I was like, and I didn't want to shoehorn more of my stuff. That's why I didn't say, hey, look at my imp in back of me, and here's the whole 22 things I made. I figured I had to make my lord
what? That, point. That would have been awesome to do. I think people would have enjoyed to have seen all of that. So thanks for taking that away from them, Joe.
Well, hey, if and not to sound like a dick, if I were to send you a picture right now, would that be too imposing for you to put that onto the screen? If I was to do, you're like,
go ahead and send it, Joe. I'll make it happen.
Okay. I have this in my one folder. I apologize. We're still talking. We're still doing this. I was just looking for my. There it is. Now these are gonna look very crude when I. Oh God, I'm looking at them now. They look. There was one I think you missed. I don't think I seen it in your thing. But let me go to Facebook. They're gonna look crude. You're not gonna see the woodland creature because that was one I forgot to do. So I didn't show it in the group collage when I sent it to my customer. It was one that happened afterwards. So I'm gonna send it to Nathan in about 30 seconds, and then it should pop up here in about 2 minutes. But yeah, I mean, as for MPF, that, like I said, we wanted to discuss him because he doesn't get much. He never really gets any, you know, like feedback much beyond people just showing the little imp chest that they got and little imp figure.
Which when you think about it, that's kind of a shame and a missed opportunity. You could have had that be like multi-packs as like exclusives to Comic-Con or even PowerCon or something for consecutive years.
And that's what I was thinking. Yeah, when I mean, that was the thing. When I seen Imp as a figure for the first time, I was like, first, like, finally, because people have made customs for him, you know, a long time, including me. But when I seen the little Imp chest, I was like, oh, that's genius. If you guys did this, you could keep doing more. Like, every year you could release a couple. Or, hell, when they were doing head packs, and weapon packs, I was like, well, why not just do an Imp pack? Like, have, like, maybe Impact. Hey, you liked it? Impact. Oh, never mind. But yeah,
did you send me that picture yet? There we go. Finally,
yeah, just
shit.
Yeah, the one in the top middle. I think you'll get a kick out because I think that's one you maybe didn't share. And please, everybody, I don't want to sound like Doc Brown. You know, please excuse the crudity of these figures. I couldn't make them to scale, or whatever. I forgot how he said it on Back to the Future. Remember when he was making the model scale of everything, or he couldn't make it to scale? But these, they look kind of rough, but. These actually, it got me more involved, at least learning more details, because when I first did that first imp, I mean, it was just a hot mess of a disaster, but I started sculpting these imps, and within sculpting these, that's when I made the better imp for my customer, and I told you, I sent him the better one and kept my crappy one that's right in back of me as just a reminder where I started 10 years ago, because it's like time flies. I've been doing customs full-time for 10 years now, but they look a little rough, but I still like your feedback. I don't care if you guys say it's terrible, but you're going to be seeing them here in a second anyways.
Yeah,
what was people saying? I see where you said, okay. There they are. So go ahead, guys. Let me have it. And remember, this is kind of spread out. It, you know, would be a little more together, but these were different. To let you know, I don't think the scissors had an actual face on them. I think the customer requested I put a nose and teeth, but the tree I left just as tree, and I tried to make a little stand for the one peg. The thing that you're wondering, if you look at the bottom between the ball and the chest, and you see a peg, that was the ladder rung that he turned into when they were climbing up a ladder. And he's like, "Could you make a little stand?" I made a little stand for it to sit. So, yeah, I'm kind of proud. I really actually was proud of my painting because I actually did a painting. So I thought it was pretty good. And that face that's on there, I think I sculpted the little face. Your thoughts, Nathan? Go ahead. You can shit on my imps before we move into the tale of Manny faces.
I mean, it looks fine, and to think that the scale that you had to do them in too to make them like relatively small, or it's not like you're working like in a fuller scale like you're used to, right? These are definitely like smaller miniature.
Oh, they were they were little suckers, and like I said, this was when I started 10 years ago. After I made my one imp, I went to these. So this is when I started doing sculpting.
Just think about how good they would look now. So you guys make sure click the link down below and hit up Joe Amato if you want all of these made. Go ahead and order just a bunch of them, so he'll just have to work all the time, and each time he shows up on the episode, all of his fingers are gonna have band-aids on them because he cuts himself all the time while he's making his stuff.
I do. Yeah, haven't had the Band-Aids on in a while. It's usually happening every couple weeks, so I appreciate it. And Ryan and also Eric Sanchez, which I think just joined us. Thank you for joining us. But, well, that's it. That's our little discussion on Imp. And we got to find out something about Imp at the beginning. Son of a gun.
I'm going to add it
to my ego trip now.
I'm going to charge it double since I had to hastily throw that image up.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you could do that anytime. I appreciate it. Always appreciate the support from everybody there in the chant room. You guys are all lovely people. But now we're going to get to the Taylor Manny faces once he pops that up. And I got to hear your thoughts on it first. But, yeah, this is, again, it's a story that when it starts popping up, one I didn't know about until here came the internet, and you find out about all these amazing UK annuals and the stories they did. And that is a wretched Evil Land helmet. I hate every time I see that helmet of God.
Hey,
your thoughts, go ahead.
But at least the art is in color on this one. It's a pretty solid tale. We kind of get that it's the same thing with Manny Faces being an actor. And I got kind of confused here on the second page because as it goes, it's like, all right, well, clearly this is Manny Faces before he's the Manny Faces that we're used to. But
not a lot of explanation. You're right, because this is him as Percato or however they describe him. But you're right, when they finally see him later as Manny Faces, like, well, how do you know?
I was going to ask you that because, like, I read through it and I'm like, you know, Tila's like, oh, he's over there. And I'm like, well, how do you know? Because when you see the image, like, he's Manny Faces that you know. And that definitely not that guy that was bowing on the second page. So I'm like,
I don't know if it was rushed. Something felt off with it. Wait, let me see.
Like, look, oh, I thought somebody was gonna look right say here on this image where he's, like, holding his head, like, when Joe gets upset. And you look at that, and you look at the image from the second page, and I'm like, that doesn't add up. There's no way she would know that that was him.
Right, because you hear, I mean, how he's, you know, can portray and do all sorts of different acting and stuff. But I was like, but it was just an outfit he uses, but if he does, who is he supposed to be? You know, we've just seen him as when he bows. It's like, I'm assuming he always looks like that as when he was known as Percato or whatever. But this is a whole new outfit. And yeah, I just felt like there was a gap, like something wasn't explained. Because as you know, with these storybooks, they mostly usually just gave you one picture, a lot of dialogue, couldn't show a lot with that freaky, oh God, that robot Manny face looks like, a creeper. He has a unique look. I'm surprised they used some kind of language. Like, I didn't even think in mini comics or books, like when they said, and if he ever wants to be a dwarf or a midget, he could look just like that, even though he's a tall guy. And I was like, God, that sounds like a rough word. You know, I didn't know they used words like that in comics.
Did
they? Did it sound weird?
They definitely did because times were just different and people weren't. It wasn't something that people consciously thought of as being bad. There's a lot of stuff that you look at now, looking at back then, that, like, I don't necessarily have a problem with because I can look at it of like, oh, well, that was the time. Now, some stuff definitely crosses that line, of course, but there are a lot of things that, even though they don't bother me, I could see some people going back watching them now and they would just be like, oh, really? There's a lot.
Yeah, and plus, if that could have been the terminology or just the medical term, you know, that I guess they wouldn't have seen that as doing something bad. You're right, like nowadays, like, you can't say anything without offending somebody, you know, even when you're not meaning it like that. It's that's just how it was. But you'd notice in some of these books, too, and I know that I showed some, James has showed some, Grimbot and many others. A lot of times some of the art you've seen in this was, like, redrawn from other canons of stuff. So Conan is a big inspiration for some of these books. I don't know if many were for this, but every time I see that Tila in that weird run, something looks so familiar that I swear it's driving me nuts. I feel like I know that image of Tila running, whether it was from another existing He-Man image or something, but it's neither here or there, but I'm not nitpicking all that.
And I like the part, too, where she runs up to Adam and is just like, no one's seen him, and he's just like, oh, you know, he's just out doing some stuff. He went to the strip club or something. He's just doing his thing. It's just like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand, like,
Yeah, but the way she talked to him when she was like, you know, like, sometimes I hate being your bodyguard. Yeah. You were the one that was missing. I was like, good God. I mean, this sounds like death threats. And I was like, I know you get upset at Adam a lot, but how they wrote her in this, like, Jesus, she might as well just said, I wish you were dead.
No,
I wish you were never born.
I will go ahead and read this on this page. And, you know, I know before, guys, that we had, like, the full image on here, but I kind of like doing the slideshow more because you guys still get to see the picture. It's just, it's easier that way. Anyway, Teela glared at him angrily. If you weren't the heir to the throne, she threatened, I'd slap you into doing something useful. Really, I cursed the day when I was made your bodyguard. If there was any justice, you'd have disappeared long ago. I'm like, shit. No,
it was, I know, every time I read it, I was like, God.
No wonder Tyler's like, yeah, Teela's a bitch.
And
and he doesn't even really particularly enjoy some of these stories. Like
I don't think it's enjoy. It's just he isn't really read because, well, this was stuff from the UK. It like most people in the United States had no clue of it. But this would definitely confirm his thoughts when he's always talking about, like, man, Teela is always getting all over Adam.
Yeah.
He would have read that and be like, good God. It's like let's crank it up to 10. Let's just really juice it up.
The funny part, too, is after she comes in and says that, like, the door slams. And Adam looks at Cringer, is like, come on, we have no time to waste. So he goes ahead and transforms into He-Man right after that. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah. And I like the description of how he clinks the sword onto the stone ground and he would say it.
And
so.
That's what I like about these stories is because, you know, with the mini comics, we get all the visuals. So the cool thing about reading these is just the little subtle things like that, you know, when you're reading it, you're like, all right, you can mentally visual, which, you know, that's what books are supposed to do. That was a dumb thing to say for me. Anyway.
Well, no, I mean, but I know what you mean. It's like they will pick one thing that they think. No, it is. It's true. Like I said, you got to use your imagination for most of it, and then they'll pick one certain particular image. But the story of what, you know, Skeletor was wanting to do. And, of course, he uses to, you know, like, get He-Man and all that crap. But when He-Man started describing about, like, he started hearing about... Because when Manny Face is talking about being in a cage and with wires, and then He-Man's starting to remember stories of other people of wires and cages, but they end up dying. I was like, oh, God, this sounds freaky. So I was waiting. The whole big climax of this was after he turned into the robot form and they realized they can control him, even though Skeletor probably control the beast form.
I was going to say really quick, like, that's just sort of a stupid thing for Skeletor to do. It's like, why not just make one part and you can control it all together? I don't know why he...
Yeah, because, I mean, as we've seen, Skeletor has done this in multiple different canons of the comics and books of how he takes over, try to control Manny Faces. But this one sounds so damn dire because at the end, like when you see him in the bed there and everything, after they get him back, I was thinking, oh, they're going to find one of the scientists or somebody there. They'll be able to cure him. There is no cure. It's like, okay, so is he going to die? You know, because everybody else died. So I'm expecting, okay, is Manny Faces just going to die like everybody else? You know what I mean? There was no, like, conclusion to this story. I thought they were going to say, hey, Manny, we finally got a scientist to work on something, and now you're going to be cured, but we'll have a couple multiple personalities.
Yeah, nope. It just ends on a depressing note. He's in bed, and there's no cure. Because when it ended...
Yeah, so
the thing with this story is we talked about before... how it sort of just jumped, and I almost thought I missed a page. When I got to the end, I was just like, that's it? Okay, well, that's depressing.
Yeah, I wish there could have been more. I know that they added, I mean, as you know, within these UK annuals, they put, like, multiple stories, and they had even some little games and fun towards the end, so I guess there's only so much they could write, but you figure it could have been a little more refined. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting story, at least here and again. Okay, we always hear about him being the actor. It's the first time we've seen him as this character per Kato. I was like, oh, pretty cool, but the not explaining how he now looks like Manny Faces the way as we always known him, I thought there would have been an explanation. We didn't get that. We got a strange ending. So, and again, it shows we don't flip over everything from the past and say it's all the perfect stuff in the world. This one was weird.
Yeah,
it was different.
Yeah,
I don't know what everybody's thoughts in the chat room, but yeah.
It was definitely something that, like, I didn't hate it. I wasn't super excited about it after, like, when I read it, I was like, huh, okay. But there's dashes of some good stuff, but like you said, and we said earlier, it's just kind of confusing It just seems like something's missing. Like, there should have been another page or two to really flesh it out
a little more. One more page to at least explain how he looked like that. Because if they could have added that, it could have extended the story to the maybe at the end. He could have said, hey, King, all right, Manny, you're resting now, but the scientists found the cure. You'll be okay, but we don't know if there'll ever be something happening with your personality, which could be like a cliffhanger. Because, like, okay, now he can become the monster and the robot and still the human. But to make it up in the air, like, okay, he's going to die like everybody else. I don't know. And it's from this annual for anybody looking. You can get this annual and you can find it on eBay, but it's cool. Like I said, it's full of a lot of stories. I mean, there's a lot of stories.
Yeah, I think there's like, what, five or six? And there's also like a comic in there as well.
Yeah, like you get more stuff. Like I said, you get, pages like this where you get more of a comic style. So, and even it looks like a different art style as well. At least you get Evil Inn with a good looking fucking headpiece compared to that weird train wreck that we've seen in this one.
Yeah.
But it's still cool. But yeah, definitely the annuals are full of a lot of goodness. So. But that's that is the tale of Manny Faces. Now, I know you have some comments and maybe some questions from last week's episode. And for you guys here in the chat room, if you have any questions for us, whether it's about Manny Comics, cartoons, toys, any other properties, pop them in here and we'll answer them right now. But
We are burning through this episode today. We're just like, bam, bam, bam. Like, this one's...
that tale of Manny Faces was a quickie. I mean, it wasn't one that went
really
too
was.
Long. And, yeah.
Yeah. First...
And we didn't do too many side rants, because normally we'd have, like, 100 side rants before we got to this.
You know, like, part of it's, like, poking the bear and pissing Tyler off, and then Tyler can, like, say stuff and you bounce off of him kind of thing, so...
Yeah, and hello, Nathan's mom, in case you're watching. Hello. Good evening.
He only said fuck a couple times. It's okay. Brad Collins says, all of this is from last week's episode. Great episode, guys, and for the record, Tyler, I loved Beyond Retro and would love a one-off if you guys ever did it again. I know you guys have a ton more content waiting for you to talk about, and maybe a one-off down the road, but it's like Tyler said, like... it was hard to get people to tune in and watch. Like, it was fun, but if people aren't watching, it's kind of like, what's the point? Plus, it just ran us all ragged.
I mean, it was fun, though. We did enjoy, like I said, and because, I mean, we're talking about other things, whether it's video games or movies or something. It was always fun, but you're right. Maybe there weren't a lot of people watching, so it can get disheartening.
It just got discouraging after a point, because you would think that it would pick up a little momentum, but it just, it is what it is. It's fine. Hero Dan TV says, that's a lot of corn dogs, referring to me in my intro saying that you were the runner-up of that contest, which I said there was never a doubt he could. Maybe next time he'll be able to take down the defending champion, Dylan the Pit Rujanowski. So... I don't know. I just made it up. But best of luck to you, Joe.
I thought it was trying to take the crown next year.
Drawing by hand said, I wonder if Mark and Rebecca Taylor will release that book. Fans of Power is great, and all the guests on here, an amazing fan base.
It's true. I mean, we'll definitely have them on again, because I haven't heard any update recently. But I'd love to know what's going on with that book that Mark is working on. It's just to know that we could get more. Of his thoughts and his stories of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe would be, fantastic. I mean, just look at all the stuff that, we got, based off of everything that he created.
Right.
So just to have some really unique, good, maybe, I don't know if he'd have them, I don't think he's a fan of Masters of the Universe name, if I'm not mistaken. I thought he said it was too long. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody even in the chat
I
could
want
correct
to say
me.
I remember, I think I remember him. Saying that, or someone saying that in the Powers of Grayskull documentary, is it in there, or the Toys That Made Us? Can't remember.
I don't know. I almost felt like he even said it on our show one time. I thought I just remember him saying he just does not like that name, Masters of the Universe. He just preferred He-Man.
He may have, but that was like, I think that was before I was really on here with you guys. I think that was before I was even doing the show.
He would really. I was gonna say he'd really hate MOTU then. He'd hate that phrase. And just to say, Papa Hood's it's. I didn't say it, but Papa Hud's, I don't have it by me, but I did recently make a pig figure for a customer. His name is Miguel Zamora. He has a little pet pig, and he calls him Pork Chop. And he was like, could you make a custom of Pork Chop into a figure? So I did that, and I showed it today. You can see it on Facebook. You can go to my page, and you'll find.
I mean, I could just.
Or you could bring it up. Yeah,
I could just bring it up, and while I'm.
Yep, and while you do that, I'm gonna mention something from JSP. He said, okay. "I sent you a message earlier.
Oh yeah.
Has anyone seen the trailer for the crowdfunded project In Search of Tomorrow? Masters of the Universe, the movie is mentioned. I didn't hear about that.
This is from the same guys that also did one on the horror genre. I keep missing it, but they keep putting the Blu-ray up to buy in small amounts. So when they do that, I would like to check that out. I'd like to check this out as well. But I have this tendency that it seems like every time I go and buy a documentary, Amazon Prime Video, they just put it up there. And I'm like, well, shit, I've already spent this money, and they just put it up here for free. So I definitely look forward to checking those out, because some of my favorite documentaries based on those subjects are like the Never Sleep Again for the Nightmare on Elm Street saga.
You know, I still haven't seen that. Everybody that talks about it, I have not seen that, and everybody's shocked.
Well,
I've seen the Crystal Lake.
Yeah, it's from those same guys that did Crystal Lake Memories, and it's just great. It's a very in-depth discussion going movie by movie, and you find out about a lot of stuff that you didn't know, and they get most of the people from those casts to do that. Let me read one more thing on here, and then I'll work on getting that image up. Blue-haired lawyer says, I've never been into She-Ra, but I was so happy when Seahawk turned up in Classics, and I kind of responded that I kind of saw that most boys weren't into She-Ra because I felt like they were probably looking at it like, oh, it's for girls. Or if they did watch it and like it, they probably didn't tell anybody in fear of getting bullied by other boys. That's like, oh, you like that? That's for girls. I could have seen that being the case a lot back in the day.
What's bizarre, like I said, I told you, is everybody I knew had no issues of watching that cartoon. We all loved it, and everybody talked about She-Ra. Like you said, maybe the boys didn't collect the dolls as much, because those were more dolls than action figures. But, I mean, it would have been cool for them to have a Seahawk back then, which, by the way, I hate saying this, because now I always said I will never talk about my cousins on the show because I don't want to sound like a promotion whore. But I did make Seahawk in vintage Princess of Power style a long time ago. But he would look cool in figures. So when he came out, you know, for Classics, which everything just meshes just right together beautifully – I mean, it looked great, and that's what was the shocker, is when him, along with Bo and Adora, flooded Big Lots. I still can't believe that. I mean, I would assume everybody would have been buying them, but, you know, because everything back then for Classics, remember, oh, it sold out in 3 seconds, you know, because they were getting quicker and quicker, and, yeah, they popped up at Big Lots, and that shocked me. I was like, God, I thought everybody wanted to have at least Adora and definitely Seahawk. I mean, Bo existed in the Princess Power line back then, but, I mean, definitely Seahawk. People were just screaming for a Seahawk, so it was a shocker. And Adora.
I got I got Bo and Seahawk on the way. I got quite a few from Big Bad that are on the way. Last night, I got an Evil Seed. And a Lodar.
Oh yeah.
I'm not. Okay. Lodar is expensive. I'm not proud of the amount that I spent.
Filmation Evil Seed. I'm hoping you got Filmation
yes,
Evil Seed.
Yes.
Not
yes.
That.
No. Okay, yeah. Good. I didn't get. I mean, I can appreciate the 2000X one, but no, I went with the.
Oh, a lot of people do. I'm one of the rare people that just doesn't really like it. Most people say they like the MYP Evil Seed over the Filmation, but I just love the design of the Filmation one more. It's definitely unique and weird. It's different, but it's unique, and
so
I loved it.
My classic collection is growing, so if you guys got a Mantana out there that you don't want and you want to sell them for a decent price, leave a comment down below. Captain Chronic said, been listening to you guys since before YouTube, and the evolution of the show has been really cool. The addition of Nate has been a plus, and the show looks better than ever. Keep up the excellent work, guys. I appreciate all y'all. And I want to say thank you for that. And I know Joe's probably going to sit here and be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Nathan, you're so great.
No, I do too. Yeah, Nathan, you know, he sucks. No, but I've always said that because, I mean, at one point you're like, hey, I really don't want to talk too much about this. I don't know much about this. I was like, but still, I was like, even if you don't know the things, you could still read any of the stuff we're talking about.
Right.
But as you've seen, you know quite a bit. But it, like I said, just the bouncing back and forth, the things you do for the show, like you're showing these pictures and everything, but you're an integral part of the show because you'll ask questions that I won't think of, that Tyler won't think of, and then you'll create a lot of new dialogue between not just me and Tyler, but all three of us. and including the chat room and listeners. So, right. I mean, that's what's great. So, yeah, I mean, you do an amazing job on the show, and I do appreciate it, including putting a pork chop right there, which everybody had just said, you know, about pork chops. Thank you very much, Curtis Ackerman. Piss off with that Joe A. Moe, too. I see that in the chat room. But no, pork chop, yeah, he came out pretty good. I had made the head, did the armor. I wanted it to be like kind of like just something that just pops with the contrast of his body colors. And he said he wanted him to have a meat cleaver because, since, you know, pigs are always getting chopped up and stuff and made into bacon and ham, he's like, that's gonna be his weapon. So pork chop was fun to make for that customer. It was definitely unique, and thank you for sharing that up there. I do appreciate that.
No problem. I'm gonna switch it back to the, the two-person cam here.
All right, and then we'll get to Mike Shamp. Oh, Mike Shamp says, I know for fact Origins is doing all the original characters from the first run. Would you like them to continue doing more characters like classics? And I don't know, Mike, if you mean just unique characters or different ones that, you know, like when they finally were bringing in characters like Icer or Plendor or any of them, or Batros. I mean, yes, I would like them. I would love to see new characters as well. I don't want to just keep feeling like I'm buying He-Man, Skeletor, Teela, Beastman over and over in 30 different lines. It's like, give us some new characters. We need more mini-comic characters or, you know, characters from the cartoon. There's so many to be had. And yes, I understand they have to make the characters the established ones because they're probably fearful that, oh, people won't buy them unless they're going to see a Beastman or a Triclops.
Which
or
I don't...
I understand.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't... I get it in the fact that if you're looking at it from a base standpoint, right? Let's say it's someone that used to watch Masters when they were a kid, but they haven't kept up with it ever since, right? So in their mind, they're going to remember He-Man, Skeletor, Teela, Man-at-Arms, Trapjaw, Triclops, Beastman, etc. That's like the core group. So I see what they're going for with that, but it would be really nice to get like Icer and Batros and Dial-A-Mug and like a vintage scale, a Granimir to fit in scale with.
I'd love a vintage style Granimir.
And even maybe even change it up and have a vintage style Granimir, but make him actually look more like Filmation and not what they, which I love the design in classics, but if it took more of like a Filmation look or even the mini comic look, like go with that.
Yeah, because the mini comic one that we got, like Granimir, I was super excited when he first was announced, and when he came out, that was the first character I bought two of so I can make the mini comic one, because the mini comic Granimir is quite different. He doesn't have the wings.
Yeah.
He has warts all over his tail. He has a more aged look. And so I did that, and he's still in my collection over here. He's the only custom I made for myself to go next to Granimir. But when we got the exclusive version, all they did was just paint him green, which, yes, I understand. That's a quick way of selling. They're not going to go into the extra detail.
That's the version that I have. I have the green classics because the red one is too expensive and shit, man. Even the green one has gone up quite a bit. So that's gotten...
Everything. I don't know if you noticed all of just He-Man stuff.
Of course I have, Joe. Of course I have, because I've been buying classics out the ass lately. And I'm just...
But even beyond that... Not just classics, vintage, the merchandise. I was like, God, there was things that I used to get super cheap, and I was like five times the amount. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the hysteria of what's to come, hopefully. But see, that's the thing. What's great is, see, they're going to be reaching a lot of the fans they haven't reached in years when these figures come back to the toy store.
Right.
So people will be like, damn, that's cool. And, oh, I'll get it for my kids and myself. And then... hopefully start putting in a lot of new characters, but they definitely are going to have to do established. But yes, to have ones that were never made before, if we could get a Prince Daycon, if we could get Garn and you know, both of his different forms, I would just like to have a lot of new characters too. But hopefully, if the line is successful, it'd be great, because as many people that maybe don't flip over those Masters of the Universe WWE figures, those things are selling out quick.
They're
every time
well.
At every store.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're selling very well, so if those can sell well, hopefully it's promising for Master's future.
And it's the same thing with Hasbro re-releasing like the Kenner Ghostbusters and everything. I saw a Stay Puft and a Slimer one time in store, and I haven't seen any of the Ghostbusters, which, while it would be nice to get them and have them on card, like, I still have the original figures on me. So it's not like... And they look exactly the same, at least with the Origins figures. You know, there's articulation to them, and it sets itself apart, even if it's just by a small margin. But I don't know, man. It's it, Does anyone else find it hilarious, though, that they're just re-releasing all of these figures and properties from our childhood, so we're just going out and buying them again, mostly? It's not like...
Isn't it crazy? It's what I've said. I mean, we are the collectors. The kids ain't really collecting stuff no more. They're more about, like, you know, computers and electronics and stuff. So we are keeping this stuff alive. So it's like, yes, I understand you do want to get a new generation, which would be great. It'd be nice for them to start using their imaginations again and playing with stuff. But in the meantime, yeah, you better keep the original fans in mind, because we're the ones that are going to support and buy up all this stuff.
Yes.
So, and JSP was with you. JSP said he actually got ragged on for watching the She-Ra cartoon back then.
I think that happened a lot. I really do. I think that that's why most boys, not all, but I think there was a good percentage that was like, I like it, but I'm not going to tell anybody, because if I go to school and tell people I like it, then this group of kids is going to kick my ass.
And especially with figures, because,
yeah,
I mean, hell, even with toys in general, around the age where I was when, you know, like, you weren't even supposed to be collecting figures, meaning He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, even toys were considered, oh, God, what are you, little kid, you dork? So you weren't supposed to collect that, because, like, Omar Rana here in the chat room said, yeah, I love She-Ra, but could never even ever buy the dolls. You know, so you if you got racked on for, you know, even collecting He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, I mean, could you imagine then trying to say, okay, and here are my She-Ra dolls, too?
Yeah, I get that. I think if I were in the same position, if I were a little bit older, during the show's popularity, I think I would have just been like, yeah, man, like, I got Hordak and Leech and Grizzlor. You know, I would just be like, I got the Horde.
I'd love to have She-Ra to go with. Exactly. I mean, the thing is, I'd love to have She-Ra, too, to go with the figures I had. But you're right. Anybody, any cousin, any somebody is like, here comes the ragging on, picking on Joe. So I think that's after when it was He-Man, I was done. That was it. I was like, okay, I ain't collecting no more figures. I didn't want to go into anything. I was like, I am done. I don't know about all these damn 90s cartoons that everybody talks about, because I wasn't even watching those. But I was nerding out on video games, of course, and then started getting ragged on that. And now everybody plays video games.
Yeah,
like, what kind of parallel, bizarre world is this?
I never understood that either with people, which I'm really glad that culture's changed in that way, because you got to think, when we were younger, people looked at video games like it's rotting your mind. And yeah, that could still be the case these days as well, but you got to think of the things that video games are capable of doing now that they weren't able to do back then, in terms of like educational purposes too, that companies have used to like train people for things, and the military has even used it. And when you got the VR stuff, there we go. I was wanting to say 3D. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. The VR stuff, you know, that you can do with that and put yourself in simulated situations to do things. It's just really cool. But back then, it's like, you're playing Donkey Kong Country? Oh, my God. What a loser.
And the thing is, I always knew when a girl was, of course... wasn't into the games, and me, when she was like, I like playing, and they're playing, like, you don't have to hit the fucking jump button or where to go. It's like, I know where this is going to lead
and
to.
And I can see Joe right now, like, he's got, like, blue steel in his pants, and then when they start playing and he's having to explain to him how to do every single little thing, they just, like, whatever, and he just gets completely turned. He's just like, get out. I could see Joe.
No, but I just, you knew what was going to happen, especially you go over a buddy's house, they have a sister or a friend, and you just know how it is, you know how that shit would start happening. I'll play too, and would just, nothing was going on. I was like, she can't play this fucking game, she wants to play a different game. So that was cool about that. So I was like, nowadays, they like playing video games,
weird. Hey, there were a few times growing up that I had some where I was kind of like you, I'm like, yeah, right, this is going to be like all the other times. And then I remember playing Mario Kart at my cousin's house, and one of her friends was there, and she was like, oh yeah, I play Mario Kart. And I'm just like, yeah, right. And then I played her and she won, and
did
I was
kick
like
your ass?
Yeah, she won, and I was like, huh.
And it was a turn on. I liked it if it was ever a girl playing, like, kick your ass or something. It's like, wow.
That's like,
of course, nobody could beat me. But when they played, it was cool.
Okay, Joe. Okay. All right, one day.
No.
One day we'll try to figure out a way to where Joe and I can play head to head on something, and I'll kick his ass. Anyway, Stephen Brick, AFOL, says, great show, guys. Always looking forward to the new weekly episodes. Appreciate you. Descendants of Grayskull, a question for next week. And apologies that Tyler isn't here to kind of give his opinion on it. I guess when he's on again in a couple weeks, we'll ask him this. What's your take on the spirit of Grayskull in the Filmation world? So, Joe, you'll kind of have to take that away, because I
don't, you know, I don't like know a lot. Well, I mean, I don't know if that Spirit of Grayskull, is he talking about the one time where there was like, and this is where I wish Grimbot would be here. There was one time there was a physical, like, not physical, I'm sorry, a reddish black glowing head, and I couldn't remember. I was like, was that supposed to be the fucking Spirit of Grayskull? Because I really can't remember, because I thought I remember seeing this one time. Otherwise, I'm okay with just the sorceress, and the mini comics having that Spirit of Castle Grayskull worked for what that was. I like that, the entity within the castle. As for the cartoon, I wouldn't have wanted that. I would prefer having the sorceress, but now I wish somebody could tell me in the chat room, which it might be way down, was that glowing red black head thing supposed to be the Spirit of Grayskull? And if it was, I didn't flip over it. I don't remember it. I just when he said it, that comes into my head, and I'm trying to think, was that supposed to be what he's asking about?
Right.
But if that was, I wouldn't have wanted it, and if it wasn't, I don't want it. Either way, I don't want a Spirit of Grayskull in the Filmation cartoon. I just prefer the sorceress myself.
Curtis Ackerman, who is in the chat room, left us a comment last week. Another great episode, gentlemen. If you haven't previously done it, would love for you guys to review the Filmation episode Golden Discs of Knowledge. It is my favorite episode, featuring the only appearance of Xanthor and his redemption tale. So since you're in the chat room, Curtis, I'm gonna put this in your hands, because Tyler won't be on next week, and Joe and I are going to talk about the last issue of Multiverse, if it does come out, and things could change. But would you like Joe and I to go ahead and do a commentary on that next week, or would you prefer Tyler to be here as well to give his opinion? And if you want Tyler here as well, then we'll find a way in the near future to go ahead and work that into a commentary.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to have something else, you know, to go with that disaster of a comic when it does happen. But Papa Hood says, would you guys like Filmation vehicle variants like the Attack Track, Doom Buster, or the Collector? I mean, I'd like to have the Collector. Attack Track, that would be a big sucker. I mean, you see how big it is. I mean, that's a hell of a big vehicle. It would be awesome, I guess, but man, it's like, it can fill multiple people. I guess you can have the one view to where it have like a clear front visor where you can see some of the people, but putting other stuff inside. It would be cool, but I just know it'd be a giant, big, probably expensive vehicle. But yes, and I would definitely want to collect
it. I mean, that would be the hope in any of the lines that have come out. Like when they did Classics, I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, I want this vehicle. And we know that all of them weren't produced, but I think that's kind of the hope in anybody's mind when something like that gets announced. It's like, well, let's try to get everything.
And the Land Shark, I keep saying, such a missed opportunity. That's like the most iconic vehicle, at least toy wise for the Evil Warriors, next to Rotom. Some people say it's Rotom. For me, I thought the Land Shark was wicked as hell, pushing across the floor. I can only imagine what a Classics one would have looked like, or if they do one for the Origins line, how they can update it. So missed opportunity on that vehicle.
Curtis Ackerman said he wants Tyler on as well. So we will do our best to make that happen in the near-ish future.
Definitely. It'd be great to bounce all three of us around on that one. But next week will be the disaster of a comic, and then we'll have something else to kind of like freshen everything up and get back to normal. So we don't have to get that bad taste out of our mouth. He guys said both Grandemirs are cool, look great in the Masters Universe collection.
Yes.
I agree. They both are awesome. Mike Champ said, exactly. I want one of these lines to go the furthest they can with characters for sure. Classics is the line I wish they continue. Hopefully the line goes good. I mean, we say it so many times, that is the one reason we hope and pray that the Origins line really succeeds, and along with hopefully Kevin Smith's cartoon, hopefully it's done right, does some justice to Masters, just to bring the popularity back, because that is, I mean, we could just keep saying it now. That's the only way you can ever guarantee maybe get, no, I'm going to take guarantee back. That's the only way that possibly we could get a movie, because the 18-year limbo of promises, as you see, it's not going to happen. We need Masters to be popular again, so that means it's going to have to be popular toys, cartoon, and if they see, damn, there's finally interest, hopefully it could come. I'm not saying that's the way it's going to happen, but it's definitely a little plus of maybe putting it in the right direction.
I think it's just kind of hard now. When you think about it, like, when was the last time, really, and I'm sure someone in the chat room will immediately come up with something, but when was the last time there was just sort of like a phenomenon, like a breakout cartoon and toy line working together, and just everything's selling off the shelves and super popular? And I don't think we've had. I don't think we've had much of that in the last 15 years.
That. Exactly. I mean, you want to see that again. I mean, it's like I said, it's crazy. I'd hate to say it. Look at the WWE figures for the Origin style. Those are flying off shelves, but it's not a hysteria of enjoying a property. It's just like, oh, cool ass figures. Yeah. You know, I want the hysteria, the comic to go, I mean, the cartoons and going into the toys, going into a movie. It'd be great. And Grimbot did pop up, said, Joe, that was the Spirit of Grace. So, okay, good. I was right. I guess I'm not as fucking dumb as I look. Well, of course, you can't see how dumb I do look. That's why I wear the mask. But good. I'm glad that he said that. He said in James' book, you can also see his earlier design, I think.
Which
I'm going to have to take a look at that. I didn't know that.
Which I got an email from James because I actually did purchase his book, his guide to the He-Man and She-Ra Filmation series. I could have it here when we do commentaries. I can, you know, kind of fact check a little bit more as well, and I know that he sent me an email. It was kind of like a mass email to people that had placed orders that, you know, it was probably going to take some time to get him here, but I look forward to that. And that link is also down below. If you guys look down there, it's HeManShiraShop.com. I hope I got that right. It's down there. I pasted it in there. Joe?
James just, he puts some, can I answer that question, that last question I seen there recent, or I can't answer what Zentron just said?
Because
it'd be quick. I'm not going to say nothing.
Hang on. Before we get into that, Adam Gabbard asks, what are your thoughts on the vintage Castle Grayskull alarm clock? Because I realize when it makes noises, He-Man and Skeletor, I don't know why I said She-Ra, He-Man and Skeletor pop up. Joe, did you have the alarm clock? Is it laying to the left of you? Can you pick it up off the floor and show everybody?
It's I actually do have it, but it's downstairs, and yes, it works. In fact, I was gonna put it in back of me, and I was gonna time it for 10 o'clock to go and come up. So yes, it has this loud sound.
Do that.
They
next
rise
week.
Up. I will, because and then the lights of Castle Grayskull come on. The drawbridge opens, and then you push the button to like when you're done. Like, oh god, it's the alarm. You hit it, then the drawbridge goes back. And the figures come down. So I'll do that next week. We'll set it for 10 o'clock. So next week during the show, you're just going to see go, bing, bing, bing. But yes, I have it.
All right, Joe, in regards to the Zentron question, you can't verbally say it on the show, but go ahead and give your answer.
Wait.
Yes.
There, am
yes.
I doing it?
Yes.
I didn't speak. I'm not allowed to speak on that.
Yeah,
so.
I think a lot of people are. But no, in case you guys missed last week, if we ever bring that up, ever, then we have to do a commentary for the prom episode of said show. And if they bring it up again, we got to do a commentary for the NYP episode, The Island. So I had to do it because Joe kept bringing it up. Anyway, what were you going to say, Joe?
Lonin in the chat room wanted to say, well, Ninja Turtles, when you guys were talking about like a lot of things that maybe were you were seeing kids going into the aisles or even fans, I guess, yeah, Ninja Turtles seems like it was hitting a lot. I mean, especially with a lot of their reboots.
I think the last one, which Grim 2 had said, I think Pokemon was probably the last one that really, like, when you think about it, cartoon, action figures, video games, movies. That was kind of like the last thing that encompassed all of that, and that everyone just absorbed. It's like, all right, you could say SpongeBob.
And their damn cards, too, right?
Yes.
It wasn't all about those damn
cards. And they're still making games that people enjoy, and I'm sure some people could say, well, SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm like, all right, the cartoon was popular. They didn't really have that many figures. Yes, there was a movie, but it just didn't have that. So I'd say Pokemon was probably, and before that, I would definitely say Ninja Turtles, for sure.
Okay. All right. Stuff, neither of things I collected. But in Spider-Rat, I'm not saying nothing. Spider-Rat just had a comment, said, my 6-year-old made me so proud. She said, the new She-Ra sucks compared to the original, Daddy. You have a fantastic daughter, Spider-Rat. So, I didn't say nothing.
Yeah,
that
I'll let that pass. We'll let that one pass.
All right, JSP said something for you, Nathan. Said, Nathan, is that the unofficial guide that you ordered?
Yes.
When you were talking about stuff from JSP? Okay.
Yeah, it was. Because I know that Dark Horse put out that one book, but I want James's book because I feel like there's going to be more to it. I feel like the Dark Horse book would have kind of like more pictures and stuff in it. That's just an assumption. I haven't really looked at it at all. But I just figured
this,
that would
is
be
this
the
a
case.
Reprint? I mean, I thought James made a post about it. Is this like a reprint of the unofficial guide? Because I have the first run of that, which he did. Is this a reprint?
I think so. And if you guys click on that link down below and you want to get yourself a copy, I think he does have some issues of Serial Geek as well, because I know some people were asking about that. It's not like the complete run, but I think he had like the last few. Joe, you all right?
Yeah, I was, hold on, look up at the sky for a second. I got a real hot neck I had to move something to. I wanted to grab something. Oh, man, I forgot it's getting summertime again, so things are getting hot. I'm starting to sweat.
You got to get a straw and some bottled water, bud.
You ain't kidding. And put a little fan on me. Okay, Adam Gabbert real quick said there was a nice tall figure in back of me, and it's weird, Harold. And what pisses me off about the Fat Albert figures, because like I said, this is cool. He actually poses. But the other three, none of them pose, especially Fat Albert. I think he's just got his hand in back of him or some stupid poses. Like, why wouldn't you made all these guys pose? And, you know, you always forget about real life, you know, and things that happen. Because I made a post on my wall about, you know, the Fat Albert figures, and I'd love to see more. And everybody was like, Joe, that's never going to happen. And then they said why, and I forgot. I was like, yeah, it's just a it sucks how you see stuff. You wish you didn't know things about what happened to things in real life with people, because damn it, Fat Albert just would have been awesome to have all of the kids and all of them be poseable, and they have one. I couldn't remember if Mushmouth was made and if he's the only other one, but Fat Albert wasn't poseable, and I don't think Rudy was poseable, and I think they made Rudy as well. I don't know.
You know, but, I never really watched Fat Albert too much. That was kind of like that was kind of like a little after my time, in a way. Not to make you sound old or anything. Joe's not that old. Hang on, everybody. He's got to go get his oxygen tank. He'll be right back.
They're going to give him a blood pressure medication, too, yeah. And stuff. But, I love Fat Albert. I love Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. And then when Bill Cosby would talk to you at a certain part during the cartoon, then back to the show. So, yeah, because I think way back then they made little PVC figures as well. So, and there might have been one doll or something of somebody. I think a doll, I don't know. But as for these figures, I think these came out towards maybe, God, I can't remember if it was 2010 or 11. Somebody would have to help me out on that. But it's just a shame. Like I said, it would have been great if they could have brought the, you know, a new cartoon back. Because, hell, I think it was Filmation. Of course, Grimm would have to let me know. I think Filmation did Fat Albert, I think.
Well, Grimm 2 says, you mean before your time? Because that started out in the early 70s. Yeah, that was way before my time.
Yeah. I'm just saying it was... Well, they re-ran them on TV for a long time,
I remember catching, like, or seeing reruns of it, of course. It was kind of like the old Looney Tunes cartoons and, like, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, they still played them, and I would watch them. But Fat Albert was something that I only just watched a little bit, and I'm like, I didn't really enjoy it. Because you got to think, too, by this point, I got, like, He-Man and Thundercats and Ninja Turtles and Batman the Animated Series that I come on TV and I can watch. So when Fat Albert would come on, yeah. I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, I loved watching Fat Albert. Like I said, Fat Albert, all the Looney Tunes stuff. I remember all those things, especially. It just, you got excited when you wake up any Saturday morning or any time when the cartoons were on, so it was cool as hell.
Yeah, no, because any time, if I was up on a Saturday morning and I was up early enough to watch Rocky and Bullwinkle, that means that I was probably, like, throwing up all night. Because Rocky and Bullwinkle on here about, like, 5 o'clock in the morning.
That didn't... Okay, first, I just want to say one thing with Zen Brown and everybody in the chat room. Yeah, I hated the live-action Fat Albert movie. Just terrible. Yeah, I hated that damn movie. But as for... Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle, I mean, that was the thing when I seen when it comes, like, oh, God, no. But the worst was when I'd wake up Saturday mornings, and I believe if it was at 6:30 or 7, it's terrible, but that there's a show that made me want to go back to sleep, but then I was afraid to miss other stuff, was... I think it was called Patches and Pockets or some shit. I was like, oh God, what is this crap? I think it was called Patches and Pockets. Look it up right now, because I think it was a live action show with two dipshits dressed in some outfits, and it reminded me of some Raggedy Ann and Andy, which I hated that as well. But yeah. There was that Patches and Pockets. Oh, did you just look it up?
Looking it up now. This that doesn't look familiar to me, but looks really creepy.
Like, and it's live action people, right?
I'm just going to hold this up if you guys can sort of see that. That's creepy looking. It's not really focusing all that well.
Yeah, I gotta wait 10 seconds to see if this is what I remember.
Oh, come on.
Yep, that was it. Oh yeah, dear God, oh, those yes. fuckers.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that is like, oh yeah, I want to watch this show all day. So when they were on at 6:30 in the morning or 7, I was like, oh, okay, time to do something else or go back to sleep. Then get my bowl of cereal and watch the real cartoons.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a shame that kids can enjoy that and know what that was like.
Yeah, it was almost like the real block of cartoons didn't start until about 8. Everything else before then, you're like, nah, I'll pass on all that. But yeah, I remember all the time, like Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's just... If I'm already away, it's because I had some Sprite and some saltines beside me in a bucket because I was just throwing up all night.
Yeah, I can picture. I did not enjoy them either. But, I mean, all the stuff with Looney Tunes, I can enjoy the shit out of those. Anytime there's some Looney Tunes stuff, I was right there with a watch. You'd watch them a million times. You didn't care as a kid. It was just fun. Like,
and speaking of stuff that like you watch now in retrospect, and you're just like, damn, they really got away with that back then.
Yeah, there was some, definitely questionable things, which you wouldn't see now. Yeah, you're right. There were some questionable, but then there's still ones that weren't that, you know, I think they still might rerun or it'd be cool to see. I like when, I think it might have been 5 years ago, there was like this public maybe access channel here where I live in Ohio where early they would show a little block of He-Man and She-Ra. And I thought it was cool as hell. It's like kids were waking up and you could watch it from 8 till 9, I believe. That's how it ran. And it ran for a good 2 years. And then She-Ra's part was cut off. And He-Man went, for another year. And then that was cut off. But I was like, oh, maybe some kids are actually waking up watching the good old cartoons. Because the Saturday morning cartoon was like an event. That doesn't exist now. All they have is just the news and then just nature shows and bullshit. It's like, this is fun to watch. Kids don't know what that was like. It's sad that they'll never enjoy a Saturday morning cartoons, just a big old block of it. They used to do that. Remember, it was Friday. It was like before the new fall season. There was a show. It might have been on CBS or NBC to where they would show the fall's cartoons.
Yes.
And it would show a preview. And it was actually advertising for all channels. I remember getting so excited. Oh, my God. There's a Back to the Future cartoon coming. There's Alf. And, oh, man, I got some sucked.
Well,
but,
it was like they would do that. And it's like, here's a sneak peek at the new season of Ninja Turtles. And you would, oh, my God. Yeah, I miss a lot of just that. Just simpler times, man. Man. But
it was.
Between that and, like, the video stores and video games at the time, if you weren't at an arcade to experience the better graphics, like having to use your imagination to make these 8-bit graphics seem real, and just growing up and watching how video games evolved, you know, because it's crazy.
Go ahead.
No, it's crazy.
It is. 'Cause like, we got to see a real evolution. Like,
yes,
we knew when a video game evolved, like, oh my God, look at that. Yeah. Nowadays, everything just all looks real. It's like,
it all looks the same. Like, they're like, oh,
and it does. You remember when they mocked our shit. They used to say, oh, they're all the same 2D games. Like, actually, no, if you look at them, they're all quite different. But like you, like half of like the first person shooters, when they started getting into that craze, I was like, I see a gun. And I seen somebody do a collage of like 20 different games where all a gun, first-person shooter, that's all the thing. You see, they're like, name it, because half of the backgrounds look the same, the guns look the same. Like, I don't know what the fuck this game is.
And,
I'm not shitting on it, because there are fun ones.
I mean, there are fun ones, and I like that genre, but that jump from 8-bit to 16-bit, you know, like going from Nintendo to Super Nintendo, it was just, like, massive. And for me, the pixel style art, the 16-bit art from the Super Nintendo stands the test of time. Like N64, PS1, kind of not so much because they focus so much on polygons.
Right.
Yeah, the pixel art stands the test of time to me.
No, it's true, because the thing is, you could still go back and enjoy all those games and you respect and understand how they are for 2D and still can look beautiful, especially when you look at some of the games that were made Disney style, like Aladdin. I always like bringing Aladdin up for the Sega Genesis, but no, you're right, even the pixel art and the games like Final Fight, Super Castlevania, Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, they're fun. And I remember they started making money, they were like, well, nobody wants 2D. You know, we want 3D. I was like, well, you don't realize what you're doing. Yes, the 3D graphics can look amazing and real, but you're killing a platformer style. People love that side-scrolling stuff.
Yeah.
And it is a shame because that still looks good. But if you go back and look at when they started to first try to do 3D stuff, it's like, oh, that's painful. Like, go back and look at some of the original Resident Evil games. Like, ooh, that can hurt your eye. And Alone in the Dark. You remember that game, Alone in the Dark?
And Silent Hill and all that stuff. And not to say that some stuff on those platforms doesn't stand the test of time, because I think Mario 64 still looks pretty great, but there's a lot of stuff on the N64
some, like, are fun.
That has like that foggy draw distance. I think of like Turok and
just some of the Polygon games were hard. Like, can anybody honestly go back and say, man, that Battle Arena Toshinden is fantastic looking.
Right.
Like, good God. I mean, there's when they were first trying to, and even I love playing any of the basketball games that they had when they started doing that into like PlayStation, Sega Saturn, all them. Those polygons were wretched. I mean, just wretched. When they would try to like get the face of the actual character and it's like getting mapped on there.
That was the fun part, though, was being able to see that evolution. I wish kids appreciated what they have these days so much more. They can just go into Netflix pick a movie and watch it. They don't have to go to a physical store and walk around and pick up each box and look at it. And you're like,
it's right there before.
Yeah, and you don't know if it's going to be good. It could probably be fucking terrible, but you just got the box art and the synopsis on the back, and you're just like, all right, well, here's my weekend, you know? Like, that's it.
Exactly. It was fun. And even going to the arcades to play against people face-to-face instead of just, you know, behind a computer where you don't see people. That physical interaction is gone. And Grimbot had a hell of a jump because he went from Commodore 64 to Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Damn, now that's a jump. That, wow. He must have felt like, you know, his world just like got turned upside down. Like, what the hell just happened here? And Zen Brown did bring up something good. Zen Brown said that Streets of Rage 4, yes, which I had a talk with Nathan. Hopefully I get to play that because that is it's 2D side scroller, but it looks awesome. I've been watching people playing on YouTube.
Here, awesome. Here is the beautiful thing. If Joe does get Streets of Rage 4 and I get Streets of Rage 4,
see who's better.
Well, no, because we're gonna like,
oh, we play together.
We're gonna co-op it, but no, I'm thinking because I do have a Twitch account, and it would be from my couch. You wouldn't be able to see us because I don't have a camera, but we both have microphones for it, I think. Or did I just call you on... I think I just called you on Messenger when we played last time.
I honestly can't remember.
That would be a little difficult. We'd have to get Joe a gaming...
But it'll be fun.
We'd have to get Joe a gaming headset, but maybe we could like party up and play it, and I could attempt to stream it on Twitch through the PS4. So
That could be something we could do.
If we do that, I'll find a way to... like notify everybody that we're going.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to do it. And then you guys could watch us do that. It'd be fun. See if I'm just all talk or if I can actually do it. And Zentron brought up about Panzer Dragoon Saga. Oh, yeah, I still have that game. That's a very expensive Sega Saturn game. But I remember the first Panzer Dragoon. Great. And that still looks pretty good. Then there was Panzer Dragoon Saga or Zwei. I forgot how to say it for part two.
They actually remastered Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Panzer Dragoon.
And it on the Nintendo Switch.
Wait. I don't know if it was Saga or if you just mean the first Panzer Dragoon.
Maybe
I think
it's just
they
the
did
first Panzer
Dragoon.
Dragoon then.
Yeah, because Saga like brought in role-playing elements, but damn, I think it went across four discs. It is a hell of an expensive one. I mean, I was, like I said, I was a video game nut back then, and I would make sure I was on every list. I want this, I want that, so they called me because there weren't many copies of some of those games, so... God damn, see what happened with the side rant?
Well,
so
I mean, isn't it funny, though, how when it's just me and you doing the show, we always end up talking about video games?
Yeah, Tyler's like, here we
every time.
Go. He's like, okay, guys,
I
see
thought
you
this was a He-Man podcast.
And you're talking about this bullshit, because that's his favorite cuss word is bullshit, where I like dropping the F-bomb. But I think that might be it. Is there anything you wanted to say before we wrap it up, Nathan? Then I'll acknowledge the chat room and everything we do when we close her up.
Yeah, I want to say again, you guys check out the links down below. We are still going to have the audio on Podbean, but I also made an Anchor account. So if you guys want to go to anchor.fm/fans-of-power, it's right there in the description below. I'm going to start uploading the new episodes, but... I think, and it's going to be a process, so you guys will have to give me some time. I'm going to start uploading the audio versions of the show from episode one all the way to now. So that's going to be quite a bit. You guys will get to experience the show from its beginnings before YouTube with Joe and Brian, and then Joe, Brian, and Tyler, and then Joe and Tyler, and then eventually when I came on board. So that'll be interesting. And Spider Rat asks, what's Anchor? It's basically a place where you can just upload podcasts. It's a little bit easier, I guess, in terms if you just want to play it and you don't have to download it. And you can just scroll down the list on the main page and just click on it, and it'll just open up that next episode and you can play it. So, yeah.
Definitely. And, oh, yes, and you are correct. And JSP said, and Doug. Yeah, Doug was...
He was on a few of those with you guys, right? From time to time? I know it wasn't, like, every episode, but...
Yeah, and I really, I never cussed because at that time, you know, I think through, like, the pages he'd upload, we just tried to watch it. And like I said, I don't cuss to be negative. You think about when I say it, it's just having fun or just giving each other crap. And I do say it in a nice way. I'm not calling you guys, like, a bunch of fuckers that are idiots. I don't do that. You know, it's like, I'll just drop an F-bomb here or there, but it's all out of love. It really is. Like I said, if you ever hear, I think I said it to you guys last week. If not, I'll say it again. The only time you'll ever know if I'm mad is if I ever call somebody chief. I told Nathan this. I don't think I mentioned it to you guys.
Now you're giving away your secrets.
Well, hey, at least now they'll know. If I ever say, okay, chief, whether I say it out of my mouth, right like you heard, or if I type it, Joe's upset. But if I'm just calling you a fucker and stuff, that means I like you. That means I like you enough. Like,
it's what Grim 2 said. It's just the Italian genes in him. He just can't help himself. He's got to...
It just happens. And, like, even anybody that's young that's listening, I mean, I know that you guys ain't holding your kids' ears and saying, oh, my God. It's just, like I said, it's all out of love. It really is. It's crazy.
I can't believe we're, like, breaking this down. I've told the guys, because I know Joe worries about it. I know Tyler not so much. I just want everyone to be themselves. I don't want to censor anybody. Plus, it would be a pain in the ass to just go in and, like, bleep them cussing throughout the... which means I'd have to go and listen to the whole thing and then go back and bleep each time, and I'm not doing that. Sorry.
Imagine some of those episodes when I get on a roll, other word, bleep, bleep, yep. Or three in a row, yeah. Bleep, bleep. That would be terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a... And would you want me being phony, like, hello, guys, that freaking thing really upset me, darn it.
That's the thing. I want genuine emotion. On the show, I don't want anyone to feel like they're stuffy, and we tell our guests this. It's like, if you want to cuss, go ahead. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine.
And everyone cussed. Every single person who never thought they would has cussed our show.
It's part of being human.
Yes, it is. So, but yeah, like I said, I'm not condoning. It's like, hey, have your kids say, you know, like, fuck off to everybody and kiss my ass. No, I'm not saying that. But yeah, it's out of love. So I just want to say now, everybody that's in the chat room, we really thank you for being here. We enjoyed all your questions. I see there was a lot of activity. I couldn't get to everybody, so I apologize. But hope you enjoyed the episode. And for people that are new to this podcast and this channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always get notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
Joe, I'm sure you're familiar with Doink the Clown.
Yes.
But are you familiar with the man who first betrayed him under the paint?
You know, and here's the thing that you guys get me on every time, because I don't know a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. I don't know who it was, and I know that there was even multiple people I thought that played Doink.
I'm talking specifically about the guy that played first.
Can I get a hint, like how you ask Tyler sometimes? Would it give it away if you
I think I think if you were able... And I can work this into, if you were able to tell me what his gimmick was in WCW before coming over to be Doink the Clown.
No kidding, he was in WCW first, huh? Yeah. I don't know it then.
All right.
Who was it?
His name was Matt Osborne. I think he went by Matt Bourne when he wasn't under the paint as Doink. But his gimmick in WCW, and I don't know if you remember this, was Big Josh.
God, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, he there was one time where he came to the ring with a bear. an actual bear.
Okay, because you just said Big Josh, so I'm picturing a big guy, and Doink was not a big guy, so that's what's weird.
Yeah, well, no, he wasn't, like, super big, but, like, his gimmick was he was sort of like the mountain man, so he'd have, like, a beanie on, and I want to say it was jorts, maybe sometimes it was jeans, and he was sort of like the brawny man, more or less.
Wow.
Without looking like the brawny man, but yeah, he was Big Josh and then went over to WWF and became Doink the Clown.
What a hell of a way to end it. All right, thanks, Rhett Nathan, and see you guys next time.
Stay safe, everybody.